This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
A superstar as well.
Yes, we're incredibly lucky to not only have an interview with, but in person, we have I got nervous for a second. You built it up too much, David. Patricia Piccinini, who is a visual artist and has just the most incredible exhibition on at the moment, which Dave and I have both been lucky enough to go see, which is A Miracle Constantly Repeated. Patricia, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's really nice to be here.
It's really nice to have you and to see your face in person.
I know, isn't it wonderful to be here in person? It's not, we're not Skyping or Zooming. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Exactly. Mm. So give us a bit of a background on who you are, because you're so well known around the world and your weird and wonderful art, which is just extraordinary. And congratulations on having such creative mind. But where did it all start for you, Patricia?
It started in Collins Street in a basement gallery that I was part of after I left VCA.
Yep.
We ran an artist-run space for 3 years in the centre of the city during a recession in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
And it was just the most wonderful experience. I learned so much about what art can do in the world and the potential of art, why people make art, what people want out of art, how to talk about art. All of those things. That's where it started for me.
Right.
And can I just ask you, Patricia, one step back. What made you go to the VCA? You know, I mean, like where did that, you know?
Yeah.
How did you decide to go there, basically?
I was just like an ordinary person and knew that, you know, the VCA at the time was, I guess still is, it's a very, very wonderful art school.
Yeah, and I suppose, that's what I mean. You know, like the fact that you wanted to go to art school. You know, like, so you obviously had a desire to do some sort of arts or studies, study art at that stage.
Yeah.
Did that start when, is that something that you started doing when you were young, as you were growing up, did you do painting?
Well, actually, it started one day when I skipped school. I grew up in Canberra.
You naughty girl, skipping school.
And you finally outed yourself.
Oh, it's part of my mythology, actually. I think I was in year 8, and I just walked past school, kept on walking, and I just ended up in the gallery that had opened just a little while before then. I just found this beautiful, fantastic space full of ideas, without judgment, and just awe-inspiring, and very free. So I thought, what is this world? And I just didn't even know what it was. It felt slightly spiritual, something beyond myself, but not the kind of spirituality that I'd grown up with, going to church, I suppose.
Yeah,
I'm not religious in that way now, but it's felt something that was bigger than me.
Yep.
Mm. And I just wanted to be part of it, not knowing exactly what it was.
Mm.
Yeah.
And parents, you know, like they tried to do the right thing by their kids and say, "Oh no, not the arts. You know, like, don't get involved in the arts. You know, like go off and be a lawyer or a scientist or something." Mm. Did you get that pressure a bit, or did they open?
Yes. Well, because I'm a migrant,
right,
from Italy and before that Sierra Leone.
Yep.
So it takes 3 generations to feel grounded in a community.
Yep.
And so my parents were very anxious because we were first generation migrants.
Yeah.
And they wanted my sister to be a barrister and me to be an economist. And luckily, my sister gave them what they wanted.
Oh, so you've got away.
But I was I broke my father's heart.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and absolutely, yeah.
But they must be so proud of you now, though.
You know, they're both gone, but in some ways I don't really think they ever really understood why or what I was doing. I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, it the high art world is a very strange world.
Yeah,
It's not for everyone to start with.
Yeah.
And that's why I really value a show like the one at Flinders Street, because it actually is very welcoming to everybody.
Yeah.
It's not for the conoscenti. You don't have to have an arts degree to get something out of it.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that's something that's very important in my practice.
Yeah.
That as elitist as the art world can be, I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that kind of artist.
Let's talk about it. It's weird and wonderful in the most, you know, I can't sing your praises enough because what you're doing is so extraordinary. Your mind must be so alive and so alert. You know, where does it come from? How do you come up with some of these creations that you make?
I just listen to people.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, I'm always listening and reading, but I listen to podcasts a lot.
Yeah.
From all kinds of people around the world. And I'm always interested in people from that.
And so, yeah. So you take your inspiration from what you're hearing people talking about.
Yeah. And okay. And that's why I think my practice is quite relevant because I'm situate myself inside of the community, not outside, which is the general space that visual artists tend to place themselves, you know, outside looking in, you know, telling all of us stuff from their, you know, omnipotent point of view, like they know stuff that we don't know. Whereas I'm not like that at all. And you can see I'm kind of slightly judgmental of that. I hate it. To me, it reeks of authority, yeah. And I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm inside as confounded as everybody else, like really overwhelmed by things like climate change and wanting to be part of a conversation around what we can do to help each other and other species and the planet go forward.
Mm.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very earnest as well. Like, I'm pretty sincere.
I get that. And yeah. I can read that in your art. I can really see it. But some of your pieces that I've seen over the years, they're pretty, you know, like, they're creatures, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're creatures. Yeah. And they're a little bit bizarre. You know, like,
yep.
You must get, you know, like, do you hang around the gallery at times when people don't know who you are and just listen to what they're saying about when they're confronted by some of these creatures? Huge, too. You know, do you ever do that?
Yeah, I do it a lot, especially now that we can wear masks. So, but yeah, and in fact, I am very affected by what people think about my work because I deeply care about it.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I do build into it a kind of mechanism which incorporates a sense of being pushed away. Like if I made work which was, immediately sort of able to be consumed and accepted and internalized without thought, then, you know, that would just be like, contemporary commercial stuff where you don't have to think. My work has to have a push away in it because when you pulled back in, and you're generally pulled back in because you empathize with the situation or with the relationship that you're witnessing or even feeling a part of, then you're cognizant of that. You think, oh, I don't like it, but I'm also interested.
Yeah.
And I can feel this journey from being often repulsed, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah.
But to a feeling of being having kind of warmth towards what you can see, an acceptance of difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're incredibly intimate works, especially in the new exhibition, being able to go into, for example, a bedroom where there are two creatures holding each other.
Mm.
And it's so beautiful and personal.
Mm.
And you have to take a moment and step back and be like, this is confronting to see non-human or post-human creatures, but it's only because it's unfamiliar.
Mm.
Mm.
And then to have this incredible access to these creatures that are so lifelike. And you get to go up really, really close and look at them with detail in a way that you don't get to with other living things. You get to be so close with it. It's quite incredible.
And also the fact is that in that bedroom, on the dresser, are Kiss albums. which is a gorgeous touch. I love that. But there's one thing that I've just got to ask you. It's in the ballroom of the Flinders Street Station and other rooms along the way. A huge exhibition. Gosh, it must have taken you a long time to put all that together. How did it come about, getting a space, which so many people want to go and see that space regardless? It's been, in ruins for a long time and only just been started to be renovated. Mm. How did it come about to get it and why that space?
That's a long story. Well, it's all Gideon and Hannah's doing and Rising, the festival. They're the directors of the festival.
Yep.
They worked tirelessly and very effectively with Metro to have access to that space for the festival. It's a beautiful space, but it's not an easy space because it was built so long ago. It's it needs a lot of work to make it safe for people to be in. For example, the door that everything has to come through is 83 centimetres wide.
Yep.
That everything in that show had to fit through that.
Gee.
Yeah. So things like health and safety, getting people out if there's an emergency. Everything has to be renovated. Like, it all has to change. It has to be. It's a multi-million dollar project. There's a lot of reasons why the public haven't had access to that space.
Mm. Oh, and you can see that when you're there.
Yeah.
There are certain parts that aren't open and only so many people into certain areas and all that for obvious reasons, because it is under construction, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's falling apart really.
Mm.
And there's huge water that's had big water damage and so on. So, I mean, possibly they'll get some funds to renovate it and get somebody good to do it, and it could be used as a public space, and that would be a dream for our city.
Mm. In the meantime, it's an incredible pairing with the artwork that's in there. I really feel like it adds to the narrative that you have created.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so seeing my work in that space is so much better than seeing it in a gallery.
Yeah.
Because it's a mythological space.
Yeah.
We all knew about the ballroom, but did it really exist? does anyone know people been there? And my grandmother, I fell in love there and married my grandfather. Get these stories.
Yeah.
So it's a mythological, but it's also a real space.
Joy.
Steeped in history. And so when I put these sort of inconceivable objects in there, these extraordinary, they have a strange resonance with this real space.
Yeah.
Like, do they really exist?
Yeah.
Could they potentially be inhabitants of the space? And so they kind of, oscillate between a kind of imaginary and a real space.
Mm. We're running out of time, but just one thing, you must be so proud of the interest in it, like selling out. I know so many people that haven't been able to get tickets, but it's now extended to next year.
January,
congratulations on that as well. Mm. That must be very rewarding for you when this has happened, the demand for tickets.
Oh, it's thrilling, really thrilling, because this is my city.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is very meaningful to me. Yeah. It's a great honour to be there to have that opportunity, and hopefully there'll be other artists who'll get that chance. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great honour that you're the person in there, because Patricia, it's amazing. People, if you have to see it, you have to see it. So wonderful that you're here. And the wonderful thing is I'm doing an interview tomorrow with you for The Art Hunter.
Yes.
And that will be out in a couple of weeks, so people get ready for it.
Thank you so much, Patricia. Run out of time again. Sorry about that. We've got Robin Mossy coming up after 5. We've got the news at 5 o'clock with Bassam, and we'll be back next week. So thank you so much for being with us, Patricia.
It's been really fun. What an amazing building.
I know.
You're
here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.